Our scripture readings today come from 1 Samuel 15:22 and 1 John 2:5. Samuel, does the Lord delight in burning offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. 1 John 2:5. But if anyone obey his words, love for God is truly made complete in them.
Lord, we do thank you for this time, God of ministry. We ask that you would bless those who are listening by podcast, Lord, that you would bless Sandy, Kathy, God, and Donna, and those who tune in every week. We thank you, God, for giving them a heart to listen. We ask that you would bless and meet them at their very point of need. And we ask that you would bless the sermon today, that it would be a blessing to those here in attendance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I just thank God. I have to just thank him one more time before I get into this, because he's so good to me. I thank him. This week, I'm talking from the topic, Trust and Obey, but this is kind of how I came up with this topic. Miss Cherish challenged me. She was reading the story of Noah, and she said, you preached about a lot of things. I want you to preach about Noah. I said, well, that's a hard one. I said, let me think about it. And so let me think about it and how I could tie Noah in. And, you know, so I thought about it. And then I kind of forgot, and I got busy doing other stuff. And she came back and she said, did you get anything for Noah yet? I said, no, I have not. I said, let me think about it again. And I did. And then it was so funny. I dropped her off at school on Wednesday. I think that was Wednesday. And I was like, okay, God, what do you want me to preach? I hate when I'm this late because I like to give it to Lori in time, but I just didn't have anything yet. I was trying to think about it. And then I could hear her. She literally just got out of the car, and I could hear her saying, what about Noah? And so I started thinking, well, what about Noah? What is it about Noah that we can learn from? You know, there's so many things, but what could we learn from? And I just kept hearing the word obey, obey, obey. It's better to obey. I thought, okay, I could do something with that. I came here on Wednesday and just started working through it and kind of reading his story again. And that's what I want to talk about today, how it's just better to obey God. It's just better to obey God and do what he tells us to do, do what he calls us to do. I know, I've had a challenge in that sometimes out of fear of rejection. When he says, pray for that person. I'm like, well, God, they may not want me to. You know, they might reject me and tell me, no, I don't want to, you know. But as I've gotten older and grown in him, I realized first, someone told me, he's never going to tell you to do anything bad. So if God says, go cuss that person out, I'm sure that is not God. I can warn you, that is not God. That is not God telling you to do that. So that's always good. So kind of gate, you know, when you feel like it's God telling you, is it something good? Is it going to be a blessing to them? That is probably God. So I'm starting to learn, you know, that even if they do, even if someone says, no, don't pray for me, or no, don't, whatever it is, know that you obeyed God, because he says it's better for us to obey him. You know, our life's going to be a little bit easier when you just go ahead and obey. When you don't, when he tells you to do something and you don't, many times there ends up being, you know, a journey to get through because you didn't do exactly what he asked. And how do you know, like I said, how do you know it's him? You know it's God, because for one, he's not going to tell you to do anything that's going to hurt someone or, you know, that's going to cause, or it might wreak havoc, but it won't cause trouble. How about that? It might upset things. He might say something because that's what he's wanting something done. And it might, people who are in their comfort zone, it might upset a little bit, you know, to get you out of that comfort zone. But to learn how to hear his voice. So I started looking through scriptures to kind of gauge, what am I saying? Is this right? What am I saying? I know it's important to obey God. I know that it is, in lessons that I've learned. So the first scripture that he kind of gave me was 1 Samuel. And it's 15:22. And if you know, we've been in Bible study, we're studying the story of David. But in that first scene, I think it was at the very beginning of the movie, this is what Samuel told to Saul, because God told Saul what to do. And he did it his way anyway. And I mean, now we're seeing, if you're ever want to come to Bible study, it's a wonderful story. We're seeing the effects of not obeying God when he tells you what to do. And this is what Samuel told him. He said, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. And so in the story, Samuel was paying because he didn't do what God said, and now he's turned him over to a reprobate mind. His mind is, he's kind of lost it and he's suffering. But that's because he didn't obey. The scripture is saying it's so much better to obey than to make sacrifices. He thought he could go and burn the ram and sacrifice the ram. Nope. God said, no, it's better to just do what I tell you to do. You don't have to make the sacrifice. You don't have to, you know, there were so many things that they did back then that were of a sacrifice. And he's like, you don't have to actually do that if you just obey me. And so that's what I want you to just kind of get in your spirit. When you feel God is saying something to you, just go ahead and obey him. Go ahead and do what he asks you to do. Go ahead and obey his word. When his word says to love your enemies, I know it's hard. I know it's hard sometimes, but he tells us to do it. Love your enemies. To do good to those who mistreat you. That's very hard, isn't it? Don't you really just want to get them back? I just want to get them. I don't want to be good to them. Do good. No, I don't. But watch how he blesses you when you do what he tells you. It's just so much better. It's so much better, he says, than to have to sacrifice. Just obey. Just obey God and do what he says for us to do. So this leads me to Noah. That's my next scripture. Because for Noah, you know the story of Noah. And God told him to build the ark because it was going to rain. It's going to flood, is what he said. And people were making fun of him because it was dry. It was a drought, pretty much, and he's building the ark, and he's building a boat. It's gonna rain. Have you heard those songs? It's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. So he's still doing this, and people are just talking trash. Have you ever felt you knew God told you to do something, and people are just like, oh yeah, God's gonna do that, all right, yeah, and you have to stand there and be strong and know, I'm obeying God. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the situation looks like. I'm going to obey God because he has a plan in this. And that was the story of Noah. And so I'm going to read it. Just that part where God tells him what to do. But just that background, he had to do that in opposition. And then when it did rain, the people were, let us in, Noah, let us in. Then he had to be strong enough to obey God and not let them in. So sometimes to obey God, it takes something. Sometimes you're going to go through. Sometimes people are going to make fun of you, talk about you. They're going to, you know, they're going to meme you. If you ever online, they're going to do crazy memes about you. But he said it's better to obey. It's just better to obey. So let's read about what Noah did and what happened to him. Genesis 6:13-22. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence. Because of them, I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. 2 of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and your and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Do you know that was hard though? Wouldn't you think that was pretty hard that he said God commanded him first build the boat, and you can imagine how large this ark was and all the people who were watching. Why? It was 120 years. So it wasn't just like 6 months. You know, it was a long period in there before the rain actually came. But just to think, he had to obey God anyway. And that's what it says. He did just what God said. And when he's loading these animals in there two by two, can you imagine what the people were saying? What he had to go through? Can you just even picture what he had to go through to obey God? But God knew what was coming. He had a plan. And the key was he had to obey him. It said, and Noah did what God said. And that's the whole key. He did what God said, even though it looked and sounded ridiculous at the time. And sometimes he may say something to you that to you feels or sounds ridiculous. But when you know his voice, you must obey. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better to then try and make up for it because you didn't do. Have you ever not done what he told you to do? Have you ever not done what you felt he told you to do and what you, you know, then have to do? Because you missed his voice. So it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And for Noah, that was the case. It was just better. Even though it was crazy. It was crazy to think that you had to build this big ark and you had to load every animal in there. And to just think of it, it didn't sound just right. And then for it to be a prolonged period of time where it looks like God may not be coming. Have you ever had it feel like you tell everyone, I know God's going to help me. I know he's going to do it. And then it doesn't come right away. And you're kind of like, oh, God, are you going to do it or not? But it's better to just obey him and know that he, first of all, he has you right in the palm of his hand. He's not going to tell you to do anything that he won't back up. He's a God that keeps his promises. So if he tells you and he doesn't lie, if he tells you to make this move, if he tells you, and I try to bring it down to our level, if he tells you to be a blessing to someone, go ahead and do that. Because we don't know what they're going through, but he does. And so even if it seems like, well, no, God, they don't need me. They have everything they need. But you don't actually know what they may be going through. You know, there's so many private people so that everyone doesn't know. But silently, they could be going through something. So if God puts it on your heart to be a blessing to them, whatever it is, to give them something, to just say a kind word to them, they may have a smile, but you don't know what they're going through inside. So if he tells you to be a blessing to them, to speak kind words to them, to give them something, to show them love, to whatever it may be, but you feel a little nervous about it because you're afraid they might reject you or they, you know, it doesn't look like they need that, God. Be open to it. Be open to hearing him and doing what it is he calls you to do. Now, this next story, I had two of them because Noah was like, okay, and he did it. He wasn't like, well, God, are you sure or should I do it? But Gideon was me. I'm like, well, God, you think I should? I don't know. Is that really you? If it's you, let her call me in a few minutes or something like that. That's what Gideon did. And so I want to read his story as well because some of us, it takes us a little while to be open to just saying, okay, God, and going doing what he calls you to do or what he's telling you to do. So Gideon's story is found, and Gideon is, he's a soldier. He's going to be leading the army of Israel into battle because God told him to, but he was a little nervous about it. So Gideon's story is found in Judges 6, 36 through 40. It says, Gideon said to God, so God has already told him what he wants him to do. He wants him to lead this army into battle. Gideon says, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. So see, God already showed him, it's me. I did this already. He said, don't be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Have you ever been there? Amen. Where he says, God tells you what to do, and you're like, well, I'm not sure. So can you just show me? Can you let her call me? Can you let, I know because I prayed that prayer. Are you sure, God, you want me to do that? If that's true, why don't you let her call me? And then she calls me. Okay, it's you. All right. Okay. Okay, if it's really you, God, will you let, you know, will you let the lights blink three times? You know, because you really don't want it to do it. And then the lights blink three times. So it's that kind of, that's what Gideon's, we all get to our obedience. You know, sometimes it takes us a little longer, but we all get there if we're willing to be obedient to him. So if you have to, God, just show me, make sure, because you're trying to get a feel for his voice in your life. That's okay. But just get to that point where you're saying, okay, God, you told me to be, you told me to start a Bible study. Okay, I will do it. But I'm scared, and that's okay. But you just be obedient to his word. Be obedient to what he calls us to do. So that's really our challenge. So I have one story before I'm done, because I was thinking about it, and it's so funny. It just popped into my head yesterday, and I love to tell my mom stories because she really had a journey in her life. And so when she began to start our Mount Zion church, which she founded the church in 1984. But it was really like 1982 or 81 even, when God told her to start the church. When she felt he was telling her to go and start a church, she said, in Council Bluffs, because we had a church here and it was destroyed by a flood. She wasn't the pastor. So that church dissolved and everyone went their own ways. And so we were going to church in Omaha. And but she felt so strongly that there needed to be a church, a black church, a Pentecostal church here in Council Bluffs. That's what she felt God was telling her. And so she went to her pastor at the time, and we were in a denomination that just did not believe in women ministers, pastors, anything like that. They could only be what they called missionaries, is what they called them. And she just knew. She knew in her spirit that she was supposed to start a church here in Council Bluffs. But she said, okay, and she sat for two to three years. And she sat with that feeling that I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to start this church. Waiting, you know, just kind of waiting and getting the feel. And truly, I think, building up her confidence. And so finally, she asked her friends. She would ask, you know, she would go for counsel to different people. And they were all like, no, women aren't supposed to minister. They're not supposed to pastor. But she knew, and she knew from the time she was little that that was her calling. And so she met another female pastor who said, go start that church. Go start that church. You know God is calling you to do it. You go do it. She had to be, she was obedient finally to that, to God. But there was a, you know, there was a challenge in there because of all of the teaching that she'd had all those years and all those people. So she went, and my dad put the co-sign on it, which was cool to me that I love to share that part. He told her, who am I to say God called you or didn't call you? Who am I? If you say God called you, I believe God called you. Let's go start this church. And so he was her backing, you know, so God sent them to have that strength to back her as she stepped out and did this job. And so she did. She started it in 1984. Being obedient to God's call. And I think of, he just started to show me yesterday as I was thinking about this story, I think of all of the young people who went through that church over the last 40 some years since she started it. And when we had her funeral, people just kept coming up to us, telling us the difference that she made in their life. People we didn't even know, things we didn't even know she had done, all because she was obedient to go and start this ministry in the eyes of, in a time when women just didn't do that, when they just didn't do it, at least in the denomination and the people that we were around, they just didn't do it. So she took a lot of abuse in that time, but being obedient to God, I looked at all of the lives that she touched. And although she went through, she did go through some things, and she was called some really horrible names considering they were supposed to be Christians. But, you know, it was just a lot. But I looked at all of the lives, all of the changes that she made for people, the difference that she made for people, because she was obedient to God. And so that's why it's important that we are obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You touch so many lives when you do what God calls you to do, even in the face of opposition, even in the face of a persecution. You touch so many lives. And so I want to encourage you today to just ask him, what is it that you'd have me to do, God? What is it that you want me to do in this life? What is it? What path do you want me to take? Whose life do you want me to touch? Who do you know, I can make a difference. What do you want me to do? And be obedient, even if it's scary. And it might be. Be obedient, knowing that you make the difference in so many. Has she not done that? There's so, including my own. I definitely would not be here today because she was such an example for me. And so many other young women. I can look and tell you ministries throughout the country that because she stood, that they are there now. But she had to be obedient in the face of troubles, in the face of opposition. So I encourage you today, and I have one last scripture to just encourage your heart. But I encourage you today that whatever you feel God is calling you to do, that you step out and take that chance. Be obedient to that call. This last scripture is just to kind of put icing on it. It's 1 John 2:5, and it says, "But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them." You're complete in him when you obey. This is how we know we are his. It's that we obey him. We obey his word. We obey his word. We obey his call. We obey his voice. When he tells us to love our enemies, that's just a really strong one. That's really kind of hard sometimes. You know, it is. But when he tells us to do that, obey that. When he tells us, you know, to take care of one another, we do that. Amen. Amen. I hope you all got something out of that today. I just felt that so strongly. First, thank you to Cherish. But I felt that so strongly that it's just important for us, especially at this time. The world is in chaos. But if we can just be obedient to God, that we do what he's called us to do, what he's telling us to do, we can make a difference. We can make a difference in this world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, for just being God today. We thank you, Lord, for your hand of mercy that's upon us. We thank you, God, for your word. We ask that you would touch those who heard it today, God, that will start to begin to ask, what can I do, God, to make a difference in this world? What can I do to be obedient to your word? We thank you and we give you praise, honor, and glory for it. And Lord, we ask that you do again, just bless all of those on our prayer list, God, that you would meet each one today at their very point of need. Person by person, face by face, God, need by need, you would meet them and be with them. And we thank you. We thank you today. And we ask that you would bless each person here in the room today, God, that you would meet them today at their very point of need. You know what need they have, God. You know all about them. You know, God, the prayer requests that they have before you. We pray that you would meet each need for them. And we give you all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor, because you're so worthy. You're such a wonderful God. There's no one like you. You're so concerned for us that we praise you today. We give you all of our love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.